with you.
Also with you.
Welcome to our worship this morning. Just a few announcements. Wednesday night will be canceled for the next 2 weeks because that will be Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So we will resume 2015. Also, the second Sunday lunch will resume January 11th. Today we have a little bit different service. If you looked in your bulletins, we're going to have a lessons and carols and then a homily after that. So we'll be doing a lot of singing. Keep your bulletin in hand. Pay attention to what's coming next. Also, a few of you have been asked to read up here. Just come up on the last verse of the hymn that precedes your reading. Pay attention to those. Our first hymn is printed in the bulletin, the last two verses of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And if you will turn to that, let's prepare our hearts for worship. People, but Yahweh will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Let us pray. Dear Father, we approach you this morning in worship, as you have called us only in your Son, Jesus Christ, united to him by your Holy Spirit. And today we acknowledge especially the act of his coming into the world as one of us. And just as wise men came to worship the Christ bearing gifts, we come to him this day bearing our very lives. We profess that your Son is King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Savior of the world. He came and touched the cursed ground, and that curse began to be undone. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. In Christ, as priest, we have redemption from the curse of the law. As prophet, we have the revelation of the Father and the perfect example of love, an example which, if men would follow, would obtain peace with one another and with you. As Christ is King, we have rest. Rest that those who do not worship the Son, who seek our ill, will be defeated. These are just but a few of the benefits that we have in Christ. So thank you, Father, for sending us your Son. Thank you, Son, for coming. And thank you, Spirit, for causing us to love Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May our worship be in spirit and in truth, and teach us today to be more conformed to the image of your Son. And in praying that prayer which he left us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Please turn in your hymnals to 193.
Create cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous Spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. My tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord will open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
Well, arise and hear the good news. From Luke chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 4. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons of God." So, brothers and sisters, in the incarnate and risen Christ, God has promised that when we know him, even from the least of us to the greatest, he will remember our sins no more. So upon the authority of God's word, take comfort that your sins are forgiven and your lives are rescued in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his victory over the grave. Believe this and rejoice.
Myself. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel.
In darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nations and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, for that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart.
Judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play in the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious.
Thank you. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace.
Christ is born of Mary and Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great word, the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has come and was born in a manger, and that he came to save sinners, that he came to provide redemption for us through his blood. We thank you for this time of year, and I pray that you'll fill our hearts as we learn and we think about these things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I tell you, after reading these passages and singing these hymns, if you're like me, your heart should be full. And there's really nothing else that can be added. So I guess we have, as the next part of our sermon, a homily, which is less than a sermon and is very short and maybe just puts a cap on all the preaching and the teaching that we've gotten in singing these hymns and reading these passages. So in the short time that we have, I wanted to just make a few observations about the Christmas story that we've read about and we've sung about and that we should have in our minds now. And then secondly, I wanted to just draw some application, maybe encourage you with some things to think about as we stand on the threshold of a new year, some things that we can take stock of as we look back over the past year, the difficulties and the victories, the triumphs, and disasters that we've had all through last year, and what we have to look forward to. How should we live? How should we focus? And we'll be doing that by looking at Psalm 37, Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. So first, observations on the Christmas story. The setting of this, and we've seen in all the hymns that we've read and in some of our teaching as we've gone through Ephesians, the world was a certain way at this time. The Apostle Paul in several places describes it as the fullness of time. And just to summarize, I think at this time we've seen Greek philosophy mature and is shown to be bankrupt. It was shown not to hold men back from acting on the wickedness of their heart. The Romans were oppressive. And they had taken over all the world. And the Jews were looking expectantly for the Messiah. And perhaps oft disappointed with King Herod sitting on the throne, thinking that perhaps he was the one were sorely disappointed as his true colors came out. So here at the fullness of time, with these civilizations living together with these different perspectives, we read in Galatians 4, we read this morning. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So Jesus is come in the midst of all this that's going on. And the Jews, looking with expectation for the Messiah, we're under this oppressive Roman government. And we come and we pick up our scene with Mary and Joseph having to leave their home because of the command of the Roman government and go to Bethlehem to be taxed, to be numbered and to be taxed. Not what the Jews were expecting when they thought of their Messiah. This decree went all throughout all the world. And Mary and Joseph, with Mary great with child, imagine what she had to think and Joseph had to think. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make this long trip with her in the condition that she's in? How are we going to take care of the things that we need to, but we have to obey this oppressive Roman government? So off to Bethlehem they went on a donkey. And as you can imagine, with a lot of adversity and difficulty and probably worry in their heart. I can imagine Joseph worrying about how I'm going to deal with this. And matters get worse as they get to Bethlehem after this long travel and pregnancy, and they find that there's no room in the inn. We sung about that this morning. And so they are sent to a stable of all places. And the book of Luke doesn't tell us much about it. She went, and they went to a stable. She gave birth to a son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's all it says. It doesn't tell us how it happened. It doesn't give us a view into this room. But we all can imagine how difficult that was and how much anxiety and trouble it was for them. But as we know, God provided for them. And as we think of the nativity scene now, we all have a very peaceful thought as we reflect upon it through this Christmas season. Shepherds came and observed the young child wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, and Mary and Joseph there. And so this anxiety and this difficulty sort of dissipates as we look and think of the Christ child born with the animals all around and the shepherds glorifying God for what he has done. There is a quote from an author I like to read at this time. He describes the nativity scene very well, Alfred Edersheim. Edersheim was Jewish and a great scholar. And he wrote in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, a description of this scene. And I just wanted to read this short paragraph to you. This is after the shepherds had come and they're there, and they go out into the countryside and they tell forth the news of this child born in the manger. Edersheim says this, "And now the hush of wondering expectancy fell once more on all who heard what was told by the shepherds. This time, not only in the hill country of Judea, but within the wider circle that embraced Bethlehem and the holy city. And yet it seemed all so sudden, so strange, that on such a slender thread as the feeble thread of an infant life, the salvation of the world should hang. And no special care watch over its safety, no better shelter be provided than a stable, no other cradle than a manger. And still, it is ever so. On that slender thread has the continued life of the church often seemed to hang, on what feeble throbbing that of every child of God, with no visible outward means to ward off danger, no home of comfort, no rest of ease. But lo, children are Jehovah's heritage, and so giveth he to his beloved sleep." So, a difficult time, a dangerous time, and yet the mother and child are in the hands of God, and he provides that protection. And he did it for Mary and Joseph, and he does it for you and me. We'll talk about that in a minute. So as we think closely about the manger scene and we see this, we back out. And we also see that this story is the beginning of God keeping his promise thousands of years ago, made to Adam, made to Abraham, made to David, made to all of the patriarchs. A promise that one day the seed of the woman would come to crush the serpent's head. The promise to Abraham that in him all the world would be, all families of the world would be blessed. The promise that was of a wonderful counselor in the book of the prophets. "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God coming down to earth, to man, to resolve the break in fellowship caused by sin. In Psalms, "The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set up my throne." And so there was a promise to David that one from his body would come and sit on the throne and would reign eternally. And this is all, so we see Mary and Joseph, and we see this, and we see them in God's hands. And we zone out, and we see, we read through the whole Old Testament, where every war, every time God came in and saved his people from near destruction, he was keeping this promise that the seed of the woman will come and crush the serpent's head. God has provided for us in a great way. And so to remind you, in the book of Ephesians, we read this. "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And it all starts with this child coming and being born, and wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. God provided for Mary and Joseph. And in doing so, he's provided for us. He has saved us. He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And we have now peace with God. We're sitting in the heavenlies with him, that in the ages to come, he will show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. So, let's apply this now. I like at this time to kind of take stock of the year that I've just lived through. And I imagine you all do too. You find a quiet place somewhere by the tree, by a fire, wherever. Take out the Bible and read it. Read through the Psalms. Read through the Christmas story. Read some of the words in the hymns. And take stock of what's gone before and what we have to look forward to in the future. And if you're like me, there's good and there's bad. There was great difficulty this year for many of you. And I know there's been loss and there's been triumph. There have been businesses lost. There are businesses that have been started. And there's a great expectation of that. Mothers have had children. And we're bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And there is a lot of joy there, and there's difficulty, and there's a lot of worry and anxiety sometimes. Students have been working hard in their school, taking tests here recently with their final exams, graduating even, wondering, well, what am I going to do with my life as I move forward? What job does God have for me? And that can be a difficult time, a challenging time, and a rewarding time as you see God's hand in your work. We've seen sickness. We have had the joy of seeing folks who have been sick being healed. So much triumph to think about and much disappointment and difficulty. How do we deal with this? One of my favorite psalms, it's becoming one of my favorite psalms, is Psalm 37. And if you'll turn with me into Psalm 37, I'd like to just read it together and let the Word speak to us. Psalm 37. And again, how do we apply the Christmas story to our lives? How do we live? How do we focus? And I want to encourage you to focus on a few things over this holiday season. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. And instead of reading the whole verse, let me just read the verbs in this passage. Okay? The first word in verse 3. Trust. Verse 4. Delight. Verse 5. Commit. And verse 7. Rest. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. It's what I would like us to do. I'd like to encourage you all to do this. Now let's read the passage. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Over in verse 23, God says this, the steps of David, the psalmist says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been old, I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You're in God's hands. Trust in him. Take your burdens and your anxieties, and even if you feel vulnerable, lay it on him. Trust in the Lord and do good. It's what we should focus on this coming year. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I read some of the Psalms, and Psalm 103 always comes to mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals your diseases. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He feeds you with good things to eat. And he has removed your sins as far as the east is from the west, because Christ has come and died that we could have life. Delight yourself in the Christmas story this season. Read those hymns that we've sang this morning and have your heart lifted up. because of what God has done for us. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to Him. Whatever your plans are, whatever you're thinking, whatever your anxiety is about those plans, commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And then finally, rest in the Lord. Rest and wait patiently on Him. Let's do that this season. And I'll close with this passage in Matthew, Jesus. And this is a song that is sung through this Christmas season. Jesus says this: "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So I encourage you to rest. Rest this season in the Lord. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. Merry Christmas, everybody. Jesus is born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the message, for your plan of salvation, for the Son coming to die on the cross for us. We thank you for this time of year, and where we celebrate your putting things to right, for your sending your Son. We pray that you will help us have this story reign in our hearts this season. Help us to trust in you, to delight in you, to commit our way to you, and to rest in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Reading from Matthew. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you this day for your Son, who we've heard all about his story of his birth, and we thank you for the greatest gift that you could have given to us, our salvation, Lord. We thank you for all the many blessings you give to us. We ask you to give us a good year, this coming year, and we thank you for a bountiful year in our lives this past year. And we ask that you would accept these humble gifts, and that you would accept our humble and contrite hearts as sacrifice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, will you show the Lord's death until he come." Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the precious gift of your Son. We thank you for his coming and dying on the cross that we can have life. We thank you for this season, and we ask that you'll bless it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Turn in your hymnals to hymn 213. Hymn 213. Thank you. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Turn in your hymnals to 162. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith. Until life everlasting, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
incarnation gathered into one all things earthly and heavenly, grant you the fullness of peace and goodwill. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.
Because